everybody. This is John Rosania, and I'm here with Dr. Amy Myers for the Myers Way podcast number 5. Today, we are talking all about mycotoxins. Amy, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Very well.
Awesome.
I'm very excited about this topic because I don't know very much about this topic, and I know you know a lot about it. So, mycotoxins. I don't know if many people know a lot about this topic. So can you just start us off with what even are mycotoxins? What are we even talking about today?
Sure. So this is talking really, it's toxins giving off by molds. So molds are ubiquitous. They are all in our environment. They're, you know, everywhere. We even talked about them being in our gut, yeast and fungi being in our gut. On our previous podcast. So these are molds, and there's certain molds that actually give off a gas-like substance, almost like a VOC, a volatile organic compound. And those substances are called mycotoxins. And to some, about a fourth of the population, those substances can actually be toxic and cause harm for people.
Amy, how did you get interested in this area? You have a wide background in a lot of different areas, especially around functional medicine and all the topics we've talked about on the last podcast. But what was it about mycotoxins?
Well, it was a personal experience. It's kind of, in some ways, a funny story. And I like to, you know, use all of my experiences as just gates to be able to help more people. So there's actually a good friend of mine who also practices functional medicine here in Austin, and she had personally been affected by mycotoxins, and so I knew a bit about it from her, but I really hadn't started exploring it with my patients because I thought, you know, oh, that's probably so rare. And it's really funny. I was at a birthday party and I was talking with a mutual friend who's actually a patient of hers, and he was talking about mycotoxins and how he had been affected, and how he was saying sort of she thinks everything is mycotoxins. And I was like, well, that's kind of funny because I myself had heavy metals. So I kind of think a lot of things beyond sort of the basics like gluten and dairy and candida and leaky gut are heavy metals and mercury. So, you know, it must be one of those things where you kind of see what you know. And not too long after this party, we had a horrific rainstorm in Austin. And my office was in a little old house, a typical Austin house. I mean, here in Austin, there's a lot of molds around in the environment. It's a very humid city. And so that, of course, molds like wet, humid environments to grow. And so it's pretty common. And I was in a little house that's, you know, probably 50 years old. And certainly, I mean, I had seen some water damage and I felt fine in the place. Well, something happened and got activated in our office when this terrible, terrible rainstorm. And it was like coming at buildings, you know, in this weird kind of like sheet-like manner that it was like the wind was so horrific. And ever since then, we all in my office, there were 3 or 4 of us, started feeling bad. Well, actually, we all didn't start feeling bad. 2 of us started feeling bad. I noticed it right away. I was like, do you all smell that? Whatnot? Long story short, did some testing, you know, what came back wasn't quote unquote any of the bad stuff, which later I now know it was, but we felt bad. And then once I saw this, I actually at the same time was dealing with a young boy whose mother thought he was suffering from mycotoxins. And then I started getting into the testing and realized he did. And then, you know, then it opened up the whole world to me about this. So I learned about it sort of from a personal experience, as well as at the same time, I call it, you know, I was blessed with this patient who was also going through it because we really uncovered a lot of things together, this patient's mother and I, just and navigated both of our experiences, you know, together.
All right. So, Amy, you started off talking about what mycotoxins exactly are. Can you share a little bit about when people come into your office and they go through your program with you, and they go through the Myers Way and all? What is your experience with some of your patients around mycotoxins? How have you discovered that they have been affecting them?
Yeah. So, it's something that's always in the back of my mind. It's not something that typically on the first visit, unless something brought my attention to it, I really don't bring it up because For the patients that I have had that have been affected by it, they've been so sick that some of them have, actually almost all of them have tried to fix their homes to no avail, that they still were, even after going through full mold remediation, they were still unable to live in the home. And we'll get into all of that, you know, what can you do and do you have to do that? So, you know, that obviously can be an enormous expense. Then your house is sort of quote unquote tainted. Perhaps, I mean, many people don't even believe it's a problem. So they'll buy a house that's had mold in it, you know, no questions asked. And often some of these people have had to literally get rid of everything they own and start anew because they were so affected by it. So it's not necessarily something that I bring up unless I'm dealing with a very, very sick patient that's been a lot of other places. They've kind of already done similar things, gotten off the gluten, fixed the gut, stuff like that. Then I'll bring it up. Or somebody who's not getting better or hasn't gotten to the point that we want them to be, such as somebody on with autoimmune and having not being able to get off their medicines, then I'll bring it up at that point. I'll just start asking questions. You know, where is it that they live? They live in Austin. They live somewhere else. What is the age of their home? And have they noticed any leaks? And so I tell people that it's no judgment. I mean, literally, you could have a $10 million home. It could be brand new, and somebody installed a window incorrectly. Somebody put, you know, flashing on wrong, did something with the roof incorrectly. Could even be that you have a brand new house and they were building your house, you know, in a rainstorm, or they stopped for the day or two while it was raining and went right back and sealed things up, and you're already starting with, you know, wet, moist wood in the home. So the age of the home doesn't necessarily have something to do with it. Of course, as the home is older, then you have the more years of possibility of leaks. But you could be in a brand new home and still have a problem.
So then how would you know at that point? Is there a kind of testing that you do?
So there's several types of things. One problem with, you can hire, there's air quality testing that you can do in the home by a, you know, certified mold testing company. The problem with those are they're not checking for the mycotoxins. It's just checking to see if you have high levels of mold concentration in your home, which can certainly have a correlation, but a lot of times it's not telling about the actual mycotoxins, which is what typically is affecting people. So there are molds in our environment, and people who have mold allergies out there, when the mold count gets high, they get stuffy nose, they get a sinus infection. That is very different than being affected by mycotoxins. It's not the same thing at all. With those mold allergies, that's typically people across reacting. They have candida in their gut, like we just talked about on the last podcast. They're eating foods they're sensitive to. They get off those things, treat them for the candida, that goes away. This is actually volatile substances that the molds are giving off that are toxic to certain human beings. Only 1/4 of the population is estimated to have the genes to even be affected by this, which is why a family of four could have a small child who's very sick. The rest of the family is fine. People are like, well, how could there be a problem? We're not all sick. We don't all possess the genes to even get sick from this. So you can do mold air quality testing. That's not that great, and I don't typically recommend it for people. People can certainly come in with infrared lighting and things to see if there's any actual water damage. Again, that's only going to tell you if there is current water damage. It's not going to tell you about mycotoxins. There is a test, it's called an ERMI test, E-R-M-I test, that collects the dust in the home, and that actually does test for the mycotoxins. So that's the test that I recommend in your home. But I honestly start with the patient. There are some testing that you can do on the patient, you know, specifically. I use a lab test called I'll think of it. Direct Labs is what's coming up, but that's not what it is. So I will get back with you about that, and we'll just maybe edit that out. But so you can do a urine test. Real Time Labs is the name of the labs. Real Time Labs is out of Dallas, and they actually do a urine test to assess for the three main types of mycotoxins. And that is where I typically start, because if the patient has it in their system, then we know something's up. Now, where it gets a little undetermined is, of course, if it's a child and they're spending half their day at home and half their day at school, then you don't know if it came from the home or the school or a person who works. Now, I do actually, for whatever reason, see a lot of homeschooled children. So with this little boy that who was my first mold patient, he they had bought the house brand new. They found out a window was installed incorrectly. And he was 10, and he had lived in his house the whole time, and he was homeschooled. So when his test came back very positive, it was pretty obvious that it had to have come from the home. The other end of the spectrum is, again, as I mentioned, people who work. I also happen to see a lot of women. Their wife, their husband is the breadwinner. They're not working. So the difficulty comes in when somebody's splitting their time. And then usually what we do in that situation is either then test the home or I test someone else in the house. I had another woman who was a coach at a school, and schools are pretty notorious for being moldy. And hers came back very positive, and they were also going through a renovation at the home, so we didn't know. We then tested her husband, and his came back exactly the same as hers. So we concluded that it was from the home, and we got them out of the home, and her symptoms dramatically resolved. And I'll get more specifically into some patient stories, because that's probably really the most interesting part of all of, you know, this podcast, in my opinion, will be me talking about those patients. So I use that urine test first and foremost for people. That company also will do a filter test where you can cut out a part of the air filter in the home and it will test for those same mycotoxins. And then, of course, as I've spoken probably in many of my podcasts about your body knowing better than any test, I have people, if they can, leave their home, just go stay in a hotel. Again, sometimes that's not necessarily a better scenario. You know, rent something off of HomeAway or you know, vacation rental. It's best if they don't leave the city, because then that's too many different factors. They might have left the city and they feel better. So I try to keep them in the same city, but go stay with a friend, family member, somebody else who may have a different situation, hopefully not have mycotoxins in their environment. I have people go stay somewhere, get out of the house for, you know, a couple of days, a week, 2 weeks. And if somebody tells me that they feel better when they get away and they feel worse when they go back, it's sort of like the, you know, a food elimination diet and adding the food back in. Your body's going to tell you. And that really is, you know, that's for many people, particularly if you can stay with a friend or a family member, that's free. So that's, you know, your body knows better than any test. You leave your environment, you come home, you feel worse. And then I move into the urine testing, or then we'll get into testing of the home.
Gotcha. So it's a little bit of a, you know, a puzzle trying to figure out depending on what people's symptoms are. So Amy, can you tell us a little bit about what are maybe some of the typical symptoms people have when they have mycotoxin sensitivities, and maybe related to some of those patient stories you were talking about?
Sure. So one of the things I think of, as I mentioned in the last podcast, is if someone has recurrent candida in their system or yeast overgrowth, and they're really adhering to the diet, then that's one of the things I think about. I had two twins that came to see me. They were on the autism spectrum, and they had the worst eczema I have ever seen. They could eat nothing for about a year. They only ate grass-fed beef and rice, and their test just kept coming back positive for candida. And I finally said to the mom, you know, you got to check your home. I'm wondering if maybe there's some molds in the house. And she eventually did, and they did find mold, and they cleaned it up. And I got a call just the other week that the boys, I mean, we had gotten most of their eczema to go away, but they were still on this very restrictive diet, and they were still, you know, with the recurrent yeast. And the other day I got a call from her because I had filled out this note for school saying they couldn't eat all this stuff. And then she called requesting me to revoke that. And I was like, well, let's have a conversation. She told me that she resisted it for a while. She didn't want to check the house, but finally, you know, she did. And the guy walked in and he immediately saw it. It was in the air duct system. They cleaned it out. She herself was on antidepressants that she was able to get off of just by, you know, cleaning the house and the environment. And her daughter, I can't remember, had some issue as well. And she was off whatever medicine she was on. And then the two twins were now literally able to eat anything. So that was kind of the final missing piece for them in really healing their gut, was this environmental piece for them. So I thought that was pretty amazing for these little boys that were only able to eat grass-fed beef and rice for a year or two.
It's wild that not only was there food allergies, but that she herself was on antidepressants and found that she could go off those once they cleared that up. So it seems like this kind of mold can just do a lot of damage in the body.
Yeah, it's sort of like candida. It can be anything. There's a big link. I mean, within my community, we all talk about this. There's a big link between anxiety or depression. So people on antidepressants, a lot of people on Xanax, they can't sleep at night. They're anxious because they're in this environment. Of course, autoimmune diseases. I mean, my next story is a woman who had polymyositis, which is a breakdown of all of her muscles. And she came in to me on two different medications. One was Cellcept, which is basically a anti-rejection medication that they put people on when they get a liver transplant or some sort of organ transplant to really suppress your immune system, and methotrexate, which is a chemotherapy agent. She was on these medicines, and they came to me in desperation, and we did, you know, of course, got her off gluten and dairy and fixed the gut. She had candida, did all that stuff, and she was much, much improved, but not off her meds. And so, you know, I'm discussing it with her. She was the coach working in a school environment. Yes, she remembers some tiles in the ceiling that were, you know, covered in you know, a brown spot, like there'd been some water damage. And so they were also sort of going through a home renovation as well. And so we tested her, and she had high levels of mycotoxins. And then we didn't know if it was the school or the home. So we tested her husband. He had him as well. He got her out of the house. And I mean, I don't remember the time span, but in getting her out of the house, and then we'll also talk about my treatment protocol, going through my treatment protocol, getting her out of the house. And he stayed behind and cleaned up the house and finished the renovation. She actually was able to move back into the house, but she is off all of her medication. She's off her Cellcept, she's off her methotrexate, and she has normal lab values, she said, for the first time in several years of her inflammatory markers. So that was pretty powerful as well, you know, just that final missing piece.
That's amazing. It's amazing because I'm also thinking now that people who haven't, you know, heard this podcast or haven't come into contact with a functional medicine doctor or any doctor that knows about mycotoxins, they might be just going around in circles trying to figure out what their symptoms are from, and it might be something that's all around them all the time. It's a little scary, but I'm grateful to actually be hearing all this information right now.
Well, it's like Lyme. I mean, just because you're a functional medicine doctor, I mean, I considered myself a good functional medicine doctor before this, but this was not a tool in my toolkit. I really didn't know much about it. It made me nervous. So, I mean, I do feel blessed by the experience of having had it myself, because I was able to really learn about it. And just like every other aspect of what my patients go through when they say, oh, this anti-candida diet's so hard, I'm like, I know, I've done it. You know, oh, it's so hard to travel and, you know, eat paleo or be gluten-free and dairy-free. I'm like, I know, I'd do it too. So it really just added in another tool in my toolbox, an aspect of me being able to empathize with my patients that I've been through it. I get it. I understand it. But it's like Lyme. I mean, I shy away from Lyme. I really haven't had a lot of Lyme patients. I mean, my belief with Lyme is that it's the same thing. You just got to treat the whole immune system. And maybe there's a whole theory out there that Lyme and mycotoxins go hand in hand, and that might be the missing piece. So if you are with another functional medicine doctor and they haven't brought this up to you, not all of us do this. I mean, it's not as commonplace, and it's certainly more prevalent in certain parts of the country than others. You know, New Orleans is going to be a big problem. New York with Sandy, going to be big problems up there. So if your functional medicine doctor has not thought about this, you know, it just may be something that they really haven't had a lot of experience with. So, you know, you can work with them. You can come see me. You can, you know, reach out to some of the other guys or women of us that are, you know, that are treating this, because it was not something for the first 2 years of my practice. Thought about it, didn't know enough about it. You know, those kind of extra super hard cases that weren't getting better, you know, just kind of fell off the radar. So, you know, now they don't.
Well, I just moved from New York to to Los Angeles, where we get no rain and it's quite dry. So I was thinking, huh, Maybe there's less of a risk of mycotoxins in this area.
Well, I'm not going to name the hotel, but when I was out there visiting guys, I stayed in a hotel, and I can tell you that it's a problem there.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know that there's anywhere that's really immune to it. I mean, even Denver, right? They say, oh my God, Denver, it's such a high altitude, mycotoxins can't live there. The Denver airport, my God, it's a tent. I mean, literally, it's a tent. That's what they have, these canvas, it's a canvas roof. It was funny, I was going up to a mold conference up there and I was shadowing a doctor who works with mold. His office was full of it. Now, of course, this was all a year ago, and I was in the height of my dealing with it, which is, you know, how I got into all this was my experience. And then I got hooked up with some mold experts in Denver, and I went out there to visit them and go to this conference. And I was in the midst of dealing with it, and I was very, very sensitive. I mean, now that I've removed myself, we moved offices, and I basically got rid of everything we owned in the office and started anew. I never really got sick, but I am not nearly as sensitive to it. And so I can tolerate places and things that I couldn't have tolerated a year ago. So it didn't seem as bad this time when I was in Denver. I was just up there last weekend for the conference again. And it didn't seem as bad, but at the time it was like, you know, I could really feel it. So those of us that have been, you know, exposed to it can often remain sensitive to it and know when you walk into an environment that contains it. And so that also used to be another sort of part of my arsenal in figuring out if somebody had toxic mold in their home, as I had a woman who had been very, very sick from it. And she can feel it literally anywhere. And so she would often go into people's homes and help me determine if somebody had it in their home and where it was. But she then got reactivated too many times, and it's not really kind of safe for her to keep doing that. But that was a lovely, I mean, I've offered to go to patients' homes as well because I can feel it. I'm not nearly that sensitized to it again. And as I've gotten away from it.
What this makes me think of then, what leads to the mycotoxin sensitivities? You said that there's a gene, 1/4 of the population has a gene that would make them sensitive to it. But then is it also other factors, all the leaky gut factors, all the factors that you tend to treat people for?
Absolutely. So, I mean, it's just like anything. You might have a genetic predisposition towards diabetes or a genetic predisposition towards thyroid or a genetic predisposition to being affected by these mycotoxins. But, you know, I tell people we all have a little cup of water that is sort of ourselves and our health, and we're putting drops of water in it every day and we're getting rid of some every day. So we're putting in toxins and insults and injury to our body and we're getting rid of some. But at some point, that cup is going to overflow. You hope that it's going to happen on, you know, your 105th birthday and you just died of old age. But for many of us, you know, it may start early with autism or allergies to in your 30s or 40s with autoimmune diseases. So it really just depends on a whole host of factors. But once these genes get turned on, they are apparently on and we can't get them off. But you remove the person from the environment and at least their symptoms go away.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so I don't know if we want to get into, you know, treatment and what is my approach, because not everybody needs to leave their environment.
Let's do it. Treatments. Let's get into this subject.
Yeah. So, I mean, the first and foremost is identifying it, because as I've mentioned, I've had people like the one woman who was able to go back into her home after her husband finished up the renovation. And I've had people who have literally ripped apart their homes to find a quarter size piece of mold and remedy it and still not be able to go back in. So it really ranges. In terms of treatment, you'll see all kinds of stuff on the internet. Ozone therapy, that can be effective, but is toxic to humans. You know, different types of sprays. Of course, there's biological things that a lot of the mold company uses. And, you know, those in and of themselves, yes, they work, but they can also be toxic to humans. And what I personally found and have found with many people as I went through this journey was that once my genes were kind of, well, I'd never actually tested myself to see if I had the genes, but once, you know, once I was exposed, I found that then I became chemically sensitive as well. So I couldn't go in a Target and without, you know, feeling lightheaded or headaches or, you know, feeling terrible from all the off-gassing of the new stuff in there. And so I find that is something that people deal with. And so often the chemicals that get used to clean up an environment, patients can react to them because then, you know, they've become chemically sensitive. There are some natural products through the company that I got introduced to when I was going through this, PharmaSource or CitraSafe, CITRISAFE .com. And they make some all natural coming from grapes, from citrus, which is why CitraSafe, citrus seed that may be helpful to people. I didn't find them helpfully in our situation, or and neither did another patient that tried them, but you know, feedback out there is that they can be very helpful. I think it just depends on what you're dealing with, what your you know, just what the situation is. I mean, obviously in my office, we didn't own it, so we weren't going to be ripping apart walls, and our landlord didn't really believe us. So we just tried this fogging solution, and that in and of itself didn't make it, you know, to where I could be back in there. So, you know, certainly cleaning up the environment with a certified mold remediator. There's debate about cleaning the ducts of your AC, of your air conditioning unit. Some say it kicks up the molds. Others say it kills the molds. You know, that would be an individual basis. But what I personally do as a physician for these people, try to get them out of the environment if they can, at least while it's being cleaned up. I have them leave everything behind if they can and really kind of give them the best shot to move forward. I'm not saying get rid of everything you own, but at least just if you're going to go stay at a friend or family member's or in a hotel or rent a place, you know, don't go be taking your favorite pillow and your kid's favorite stuffed animal. I mean, that the mycotoxins could be in these things. So you want to kind of leave that behind, get in a clean environment, take as little as possible with you, and then my actual treatment is using one of the CitraSafe products, glutathione. Glutathione is the biggest detoxifier in our body. Normally, it is not very well absorbed orally. It's better absorbed through the IV, but that's very expensive. This company has found a way to put on an acetyl group and make nanotechnology to where it's not broken down in the gut. And I've had amazing results with this CitraSafe glutathione. We have it on our store, or you can get it, you know, directly from them. We actually sell it cheaper than them because the stuff's pretty expensive. But I've had really good results with that in all kinds of toxic situations, but particularly in the molds. And then I use somewhat Richie Shoemaker, Dr. Richie Shoemaker, who has a website, Surviving Mold. .com has a protocol using cholestyramine, which is a prescription, but that was originally used to bind cholesterol and was used to reduce cholesterol in people, but they also found that it bound toxins. And so that's really good to help bind the mycotoxins and get them out of the system. And then I do put people on antifungals that we kind of talked about in our previous podcast. So that's my sort of arsenal, is get you out of the environment, fix the environment, see if you can go back in the environment. At the same time you're doing that, glutathione, cholestyramine, and antifungals. If you're not hooked up with the doctor, you feel like this is a problem for you, some things that you could start on your own would, of course, be the glutathione, getting out of the environment. Some clays can bind toxins as well. So a lot of compounding pharmacies out there, we don't carry any on our website because I usually write for the cholestyramine, but you could get some clays and they help bind toxins. And then you could do the caprylic acid that we have as well. So that would be a sort of more natural approach. I don't think it's, you know, if you have the ability to be with a physician that can prescribe the others, I found them, you know, to be more effective. But certainly if there's not somebody in your area or you're trying to get help for yourself, that would be a protocol that you could do on your own that would be safe as well.
Cool. So Amy, as a kind of zooming out again, we went through treatments here. Sort of at the end now, I'm just wondering if someone's listening to this and they're wondering, okay, cool, I've just heard all of this information. What's sort of my next step, and how would I know whether or not this is a step for me? So can you kind of break that down one more time for us about how what a person would do if they think this might be an issue for them?
I would recommend getting to a functional medicine physician or someone who is well versed in this, because it can be complex. If that is not available to you, then I would do the experiment of getting out of your home, take nothing with you, and see if you feel better. Now, it's like gluten. Some people, you know, 2 days off of it, they feel amazing, and it was obvious that was a problem. Some people, it takes them 6 months. So, I mean, I can't advise, but what I have seen is that for the majority of people that it's a problem, when they have left, they have noticed something within, you know, a week. I can't promise, but, you know, we don't know that you didn't go somewhere that was equally as moldy, but you just try to go somewhere that you think is clean and safe and hasn't had any leaks. So that would be the first step, is getting out of the environment, potentially going back in, seeing if you feel worse. Because the other things require some sort of, you know, either the testing on yourself requires a physician to order it, or we've already discussed the testing on your home, how inaccurate it can be. You can do an ERMI test, E-R-M-I test. You just have to Google that in your area. There's some home kits that you can do. It gets kind of a little touchy if you're going to be testing your home, because those are things that you do need to disclose. And I'm certainly by no means recommending anybody do something and not disclose it. But if you do something, then you have to fix it. And if you don't know where it's coming from, you might be, you know, searching. So the home testing can just be a little bit, as we mentioned, inaccurate. And then you are, you know, obligated to act on that if you find something in the home. And that sometimes is not, you know, if there was an obvious leak, you would know about it. So, you know, you may have to be opening up walls and windows and things to search for something that may or may not be hard to find.
So if any of you out there have experience with mycotoxins or have gone through this, we'd really love if you posted below and left some of your comments, and we can get a little discussion going about all of these things. So Amy, thank you so much for sharing all this information. I think it's really useful, very useful for me as well. And I look forward to the next podcast.
Thanks so much, John.
To stay in touch with Dr. Myers, you can sign up for her newsletter on her website at dramymyers.com, or connect with her on Facebook or Twitter at Amy Myers MD.